Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, the government has begun drawing up a national nature restoration plan, which it aims to adopt by 2026. This is following yesterday's decision by EU environment ministers to pass the controversial nature restoration law. At least 20% of Irish land, inland waters and sea areas are to be restored by 2030, with the rest being completed by 2050. It's estimated that 9% of land here will be directly affected by the new law. Well, I'm joined now by Ciarán Mullooly, who's newly elected Independent Ireland MEP for Midlands North West, and by Green Party TD for Dublin Central, Nasa Harrigan. Ciarán, if I can start with you, the law we know has passed through all of the institutions. The real work, though, on this starts now. There's going to be a consultation period where, as I said, a plan is arrived at for Ireland, for what this will look like in Ireland. And there's a chance for you to work on how it's going to be funded from Europe. So is that where your focus is going to be now, on the funding for this?
Yeah, very much so, Claire. Good morning to you. I suppose, you know, as you say, the law has been passed, despite opposition at various levels, the law has been passed. So the focus turns to the implementation of the process, and clearly the funding to go with it. And I suppose this is probably the disappointing element from my perspective at the very outset of this, that we didn't deal with this issue of funding and the implementation before we got to this point, despite numerous efforts by my colleague Michael Fitzmaurice, TD in the Dáil, to raise this issue. You'll remember, Claire, during the election, Luke Ming Flanagan, the MEP, was questioned in particular why he voted against it. He made it very clear because there was no evidence of funding at that point. We were told repeatedly that the funding would follow and that it would come along the line. But, you know, even in the area of implementation, I'm afraid other issues have now arisen with regard to whether or not this particular implementation will actually be voluntary, as was claimed by most of the supporters of the scheme all along.
Well, now we're at the point where, you know, that push for funding is going to happen. So that is where the efforts need to be concentrated on now, is what will this look like in Ireland? So really, the battle, if that's what you want to call it, is back here on our shores, isn't it? How will this affect people in Ireland and how will it be paid for?
Yeah, I mean, clearly, in the first instance, our concern, and my concern, will be the definition of land, the peat in the peaty soils, in particular peaty land around the country, in the Midlands, in the West, in the Northwest, and indeed in the Southwest. And who will actually define whether peaty land with green grass growing on it in an agricultural background sense is to be targeted? I think everybody agrees that in the short term, the state land will be the focus of what's going to happen. So presumably companies like Bord na Mona will be playing their part in that process. But it's really beyond 2030 that clearly there's going to be a big issue with regard to the definition of the land. I'll give an example of this, Claire. This is, I think, what's annoyed farmers on the ground in terms of people looking forward to completing next year. This is going to have implications in the near future. When a farmer sets out to look for their single farm payment or their cap payment in terms of looking at the guidelines, when they go into that procedure today, even though they'll be told down the line that this process will be a voluntary one, they will immediately see within the details coming down the line that they won't be in a position to shore up their land, to drain their land, or indeed to go along that line on specific part of
yes,
their land.
Yes, and I saw
so
that
is a major problem in many parts of the country.
I saw Michael Fitzmaurice making that claim, but Minister Pippa Hackett has said that the area eligible for direct payments is not reduced when subject to certain EU requirements relating to environmental protection and remains eligible for direct payments. So she's saying it's not affected.
The problem for us will be the definition of FIM, Claire. Who's going to decide that? You know, if I have 200 acres of land, 40 acres of land on peaty soil, which have been reclaimed many, many years ago, who will actually decide that? It's the implementation is the issue here. And this is a big issue for farmers, smaller farmers in particular in rural parts of Ireland and in the regions I've mentioned earlier. We need clarity on this situation. And that's the regrettable part of why we may say on one hand it's voluntary, but on the other hand, if we tell a farmer applying for the payment that they cannot drain this portion of land, and we actually tell them, remember, they're the owners of the land, they've been born and reared on this land, it's not their fault that they're from a particular part of the country. We certainly would not countenance a situation where somebody in the implementation process will effectively tell them, I'm sorry, but you can no longer use that land for agricultural purposes.
Okay, well, let's hear from Nasa Harrigan on this. So you see the fears that are out there, particularly in relation to cap payments and whether this will be voluntary, despite the assurances that have come from government. Nasa, what do you have to say to Ciarán Mullooly and to all the farmers who are concerned about this morning?
Well, I can see the fears that Ciara Mullooly is trying to peddle to people. I see yesterday he was on social media implying that the vote itself was illegitimate and undemocratic, which is incredibly worrying. I think, you know, you can't have it both ways. You can't say that somehow the details aren't there and we don't know how it's going to work, but also that the details are implying that somehow it won't be voluntary. It's either one thing or the other. The voluntary nature of this for private land is absolutely stitched into the very, very core of this legislation that has gone through a full democratic process, has been debated five times in the Dáil, plus Michael Fitzmaurice's own private members bill. So the voluntary nature of this is absolute. And far beyond 2030, we have enough state land, thankfully for Ireland, to ensure that where farmers want to participate in this and where they want to diversify, farmers who at the moment are often highly leveraged, are earning low incomes, are working every hour God sends, they might look at schemes like this and say, actually, I would quite like to be paid for that kind of a thing. And I think that while we do have enough state land to do it well beyond 2030, we're going to continue to focus on allowing privately owned land into this scheme. The funding issue is really, really important. And just to say, we could double and triple the amount of money that we're spending on biodiversity, and we will still find places to spend it. This is going to cost in the region of 20 billion every year. We know that, 8.2 billion every year. We know that there's a biodiversity spending target in the EU at the moment of 16 billion. And thankfully for us in Ireland, this will be a cooperative scheme. So it's like CAP, it's funded partially by the Irish government, it'll be funded partially by the EU. And luckily for us, we announced in Budget 2024 a climate nature fund starting in 2026, which will be 3.15 billion. So there is money behind this. As I said, we could double and triple that money and absolutely still spend it. But that means that there is a heft of money coming down the line that is available to farmers who wish to diversify. I cannot understand why attack would be taken to A, actively mislead people, to be honest with you, and B, to stare a gift horse in the mouth.
All right, Ciarán, a couple of things you've been accused of there. Actively misleading people, staring the gift horse in the mouth, and perhaps most seriously, undermining the democratic process in Europe.
Yeah, let's take them one by one, Claire. Firstly, in terms of my main criticism yesterday, was the cynical nature of the timing of this move. I was one of candidates across the country who had been addressed by farmers and spoken to in all parties, not just Greens, I might add, with regard to this issue and our opposition to it, and in terms of the decision that was about to be made. People of Ireland are not fools. A week after the election is over, all of a sudden this decision could be pushed across the lines. Here in Brussels this morning, there are major question marks about some of the tactics used in some of the countries, including Austria, with regard to how it actually would have crossed the line at the end of the day. So I think it's fair criticism to question the timing of this. But to go back to the substantial point with regard to NASA's understanding, I know NASA's a Dublin Central constituency, she may not understand this, but farmers in Ireland, in rural parts of Ireland, have been watching carefully the progress of environment initiatives from Europe over many, many years, going back, Claire, to the Habitats Directive. And this is where the problem starts. We need a trust to be established with farmers in this area. If you come from the village of O'Hara in County Roscommon, I think it's fair to say that your trust in any EU directive is considerably poor at the moment. We have a situation there where 4 and 5 families have been put out of their home and lost their livelihood with regard to what they were told were the safety valves included in the original Habitats Directive. These families were told they would be protected under emergency procedures. And an eminent public official in County Roscommon, the manager, went to court to defend that in his belief that families and people came first before the Habitats, in the context of the Habitats Directive. Now, Claire, that hasn't worked out very well. The courts have held with European law, and in the intervening period, the Beattie family have a pump running throughout the night.
This is Loch Finchna, is it, that you're talking about this?
This is Loch Finchna, yeah. And it goes to the heart of the trust in the directives, in the trust of the implementation. The implementation is open to different interrogation. And this is the difficulty. And I would ask NASA to come down to Loch Finchna and meet the Beattie family today and ask them about their trust in the EU and its EU initiative.
Is it fair to link that situation to the nature restoration?
It most certainly is clear in terms of the context of, if you look at the EU Habitat Act, we were told at the time that the protective legislation was there. The county manager of County Roscommon, who has no political axe to grind, read the documentation and felt that the family was protectless. And he went to court with public money, met the decision, and
listen,
the court ruled against him.
That's a particular case, which, look, we've covered that extensively. But can I come back to the funding issue here and looking the gift horse in the mouth? We know that there is $3.15 billion set aside for nature restoration. There's going to be a lot more money coming from this, both from the EU and from funds from within Ireland. There is an opportunity here, do you say, for farmers who are interested in diversifying and in following this path?
I absolutely take that point aboard, and actually welcome the recognition by the junior minister, the Green Junior Minister, yesterday, that already we have a significant buy-in by the farmers of Ireland in terms of the acre scheme and in terms of the BIS scheme. As Michael McFitzmaurice has pointed out on numerous occasions, we have up to 10% of Irish land already assigned to programmes of this nature. So I do believe that Irish farmers will take a positive view of the situation. The problem is, Claire, when you come to Brussels, as I have done over the last 2 days, and you sit down to talk about budgets, I'm afraid we haven't quite got the same clarity that NASA has with regard to the spending in this area. In fact, I'm deeply distressed, for starters, about the discussion under here about a failure to increase our cap budget in the first instance. And one of my priorities is to ensure that we have a proper new environment scheme coming forward. Yet there does not seem to be money within the system at the moment. So a lot of work has to be done in the context of not just the Parliament and the Council, but indeed the discussions on the President's situation over the coming weeks to ensure that we do have the funding and not just a pipe dream.
Okay,
so the pipe dream is no good to the people of Roscommon, Longford or the Midlands Northwest region.
Now, so a lot of what Ciarán is talking about is based on trust, and people are being told we're going to have a plan here in Ireland for nature restoration. There is going to be funding, but they don't accept it. They don't believe it. And that might be a problem when it comes to buy-in.
It might be, particularly when you have politicians like Ciarán Mullooly actively sowing and distrust and actively misleading people with, I have to say, just a total mischaracterisation. To imply that the vote did not, did not interrupt you. And just to come back to one of the things you said, I far be it from me to impugn your 2 days in the EU Parliament, but having been here for 5 years, telling a female politician that she simply doesn't understand policy is really not on. Just to go back to the issue of distrust and mistrust, that absolutely will happen. And look, we saw it in 2016 when the UK was sending MEPs to the EU who came back with all sorts of fairy tales and misleading information, and the kind of corrosive and terrible impact that had on democracy. And it's a road to nowhere. The focus now should be in ensuring that farmers who are actually at the pin of their collar to make it through the day, to get a decent income, to put their kids through school, can take advantage of every single funding opportunity that they have. This proposal, this law, is an opportunity for increased funding. It's for once the EU not saying that they're going to spend money on militarisation, but actually saying, here's how we're going to funnel money to farms. And that's an opportunity. If you don't see it as an opportunity, well then, I'm very, very sorry.
Do you see it as that, Ciarán? That it could be that?
Well, firstly, here, I reject the cheap comment with regard to women. It's nothing to do with women. My point was with regard to the constituency. NASA knows her constituency. I know mine. That's the first issue. And I think in the second issue, it will come down at the end of the day. I hate to use this word, to common sense. There has to be a trust level among the farming community or it won't work. It cannot be implemented. That will be the difficulty. We may sail through until 2030, Claire, with boarding them on the land and it'll be all fine and dandy. But where are we going to go next if it's not voluntary?
But how will they trust you if you're talking rubbish?
Well, I think most farmers, in fairness, NASA have a considerable brain of their own.
You're implying that the vote was illegitimate. You're implying that the vote was illegitimate. Are you saying that the vote was legitimate? Is the vote legitimate? Was the vote proper? Was the vote proper?
Was the
vote proper? Just answer.
It's been... absolutely. The decision has been made. It's done.
Fine. Well, then stop peddling it to people that somehow it was illegitimate.
Nessa, the problem is, if you'd like to talk about the implementation, is the issue. That's
what my
issue
is. That's not what you said yesterday.
The implementation. Well, certainly, if you want to talk about the cynical nature of the discussion, there's a wider point to be made about this. I listened to Claire to a very interesting comment by Fiona Sheehan the other night with regard to the run-up to the election and about the preparation of parties in terms of decisions and announcements, particularly the back payments to public servants, etc. Now, a colleague of mine said, you know, you lose the election, you can't say this is your excuse. Well, I won the election. I want to make this point. I see what happened here in Brussels in the last few days in the same category as I see that, a decision with regard to back paying the public servants. Or announcement of 135,000 carers grants 24 hours before an election. I'm not sure if the public in Ireland should put up with this. And I think
so that's characterising the vote as illegitimate.
Do you really think that the public, that the people of Ireland are fools? They realise that this decision couldn't be announced by the political party.
I mean, this is the Nigel Farageification of... This is Nigel Farage stuff.
Why wasn't it brought forward last week?
This is the normal process of democracy in the EU. If you're not aware of how the process works, then that's surely your issue.
We live in the real world, and regressively, this has been proven to us that it was a political initiative post-election. And I think, you know, the Green Party and others will have to answer for this in the coming weeks and coming months as you face the electorate again.
Answer for the normal progression of democracy. Absolutely, we will stand behind that every step of the way.
Like Francie Gorman said,
timing as well.
Francie Gorman from the IFA said that he wasn't surprised by the fact that this went through when it did, Ciarán. So some people did expect it to happen when it did this week.
Absolutely. And you know, when I was coming out here, I asked the other day, my first question was, what is the next process in terms of, can it possibly be rejected by the countries at the council level on an ongoing basis? What happens next? And most of the seasoned MEPs from other parties that I'd had, we're saying to me, Ciarán, we will never see it again. We will not vote on this issue, and so be it. But that doesn't mean, Claire, in any respect, that one cannot be disappointed by the fact it was left
all right
post-election for the decision to be made.
Listen, we'll leave it there for now. We'll be talking about this many times, I know, in the future. Ciarán Mullooly, Independent Ireland MEP, and Nasa Harrigan, Green Party TD. Thank you both. Still to come in the next hour of the programme, major changes to Ireland's laws around international protection are going to Cabinet today. We're going to find out what it means. The mammies and daddies of Ireland's new crop of elite athletes tell us how they raise and nurture the ones who make it to the very top of their sport, and how to stay well on holidays with our regular GP, Dr. Maura Finn. All on the way.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.